Friday morning scoops with DannyMac.com, and it's Ben Fred Fridays, and we have added to our website, scoopswithdannymac.com, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm to sponsor this segment of Henderson Water Cutty, the premier defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. And they have a remarkable website. Check it out, stlouiscriminaldefense.com, stlcriminaldefense.com, stlcriminaldefense.com, the STL-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Water Cutty. And Ben, good morning to you.
Good morning, man. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I'm officially down here at spring training, so I feel like I'm part of the party.
Well, you're officially part of the party, and you've had one of the best articles down here thus far, and that was your visit with Mr. October. What was it like catching up with Reggie Jackson?
Yeah, it was great, and it's good and also bad because I feel like I got down here, and now everything else is going to be a disappointment the rest of spring. But went up to Reggie to ask him about Luke Voit, of all people, you know, just to think, see if he had thoughts on the Yankees first baseman, because it seems like Luke is going to have a very good chance of winning that job here as he has a hot start in spring. And we had a good conversation. Then Reggie goes, hey, by the way, you know, started just raving about Paul Goldschmidt and kind of said, okay, well, are we talking on the record here? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I'll tell you all about why I think he's so great. And he proceeded to the point that he wanted to look up his numbers and go into him in detail. He had never met Paul Goldschmidt, just been a big fan of his from afar, and got a chance to meet him that day at the ballpark and told him the same things that he was telling everybody else who was asking. So pretty nice endorsement from a first ballot Hall of Famer, Mr. October himself, and really thinks that, you know, including Bryce Harper, including Manny Machado, that the Cardinals got the best deal of the offseason. That's really not even close in his eyes.
Why do you think he just kind of went off in that direction when you're talking about Voit and all of a sudden it turns into Goldschmidt?
Yeah, I think he just has a lot of respect for Paul. And one of the point that he kept making again and again was that it was about the fact that Paul Goldschmidt posts every day. He plays every day. He had one season in his non-rookie season where, you know, he didn't play, you know, close to 150 games. And it was because of, I think, the one time in his career he's been injured. He doesn't get sick. He doesn't get hurt. He doesn't skip a game because he's tired. He plays and he produces. He plays every facet of the game. He plays defense. He runs bases. He puts up big numbers, big power, and he also takes walks. He's a complete player. And I think that has the respect of guys who played for a long time. The thing that really impressed me about the conversation was his prediction for Paul in the future. Cause you know, you and I have talked a lot about what do you make of players beyond that 30-year wall. And baseball keeps telling us these guys are old and you shouldn't give them deals. And Reggie Jackson says, look, I hit until I was 40. You know, I hit 40 home runs when I was nearly 40. Now, not everybody's me, you know, but I see Paul Goldschmidt as a guy who can do that. And I don't know, you know, what he sees in Paul Goldschmidt that says it's going to last, but I would imagine he sees what we see. It's the way he's built. You know, he's athletic. He's not a big, heavy, lumbersome guy. He's fit. He moves well. He takes care of his body. He prepares. And he plays a position that is usually, you know, pretty kind on guys as they get older. So he doesn't think he's going to, you know, dry up and turn into a shell of a player in a couple of years. He said he thought he would hit for power and production for 4 to 5 more years, which is probably about the kind of length that the Cardinals would be thinking if they wanted to extend him.
You've had the chance to visit now in your brief time down here with Paul Goldschmidt. How about your impressions of Paul?
Yeah, I mean, Paul is interesting because he's very aware. I mean, he pays attention to what's going on. He has a good sense of I think, you know, who's covering the team, and he's really tuned in. You can have a really engaging conversation with him, and probably one that won't always come across in his comments. And I don't mean that as a negative to him, but he'll try to tell you, you know, my quotes are probably kind of boring when I answer questions. And he's pretty much a guy who tells you what a lot of players tell you, but he actually lives it. He shows up every day and wants to work, and he wants to make the team better, and he wants to win a World Series, and he's going to put the team first. And, you know, you say, okay, that's kind of easy to roll your eyes at, and it doesn't make for the most colorful copy at times. But then you start to talk to guys about it, and you talk to, like, Mike Schilt, and he says, look, this guy practiced practices what he preaches. And if you watch him, and I did the day that they were at the Yankees, you know, Paul Goldschmidt, who's, you know, multiple-time All-Star, multiple-time Gold Glove winner, if he continues to play like he has, he could be in the Hall of Fame one day. He's got nothing to prove to anybody, and he's taking batting practice. He's going to first base, taking grounders. He's moves over to second base, and he's talking with Colton Wong and Paul DeJong about how to, you know, run defense on certain plays. He goes to third base and starts practicing his leads, and he's talking to Mike Maddux about different hitting coaches that he's had and approaches that worked for him. I mean, he's just – he's obsessed with baseball, and he lives it and breathes it and sleeps it. And I think it really is who he is. And a lot of guys say that. Very few guys actually do it. And the guys who are gifted with the abilities that he has and also the love of the game and the discipline, they turn into pretty special players.
I'm not saying that Reggie Jackson is Brian Cashman's right-hand man, but should that be a cause of concern as Paul Goldschmidt is a pending free agent?
You know, I thought more about that after I had written the column, and I'm thinking Reggie Jackson just made a like stump speech for Paul Goldschmidt, and I didn't put it in the column because it didn't really fit what I was writing, but I asked him, you know, how big of a star do you think he would be here in New York? And, you know, that's kind of Reggie's story, right? I mean, he was determined to go to New York. He had a great quote about, you know, I wasn't a star. New York didn't make me a star. I brought my star to New York. I mean, he knows what it's like to be in a place that's kind of overlooked, right? And that's what Paul Goldschmidt is. He sees, I think, maybe some of himself and Paul Goldschmidt. Not that they're similar. I mean, they're similar in terms of they're both really good players. I mean, Reggie's an amazing player, but I think he sees maybe some similarities now that he was a guy who felt like he was overlooked when he was in his prime, perhaps. You know, they couldn't be more different in their approaches, in their you know, their personas, but they're both very good players. And I think he feels like Paul Goldschmidt was maybe overlooked because he was in Arizona, where not a lot of people are maybe paying attention. His games aren't on, you know, on our TV. He's not on ESPN, and maybe he's a little underappreciated, and I think maybe Reggie could relate to that. He said if he was in New York, he would be a star, and he would continue to be the same guy he is. And he said he'd be the best, you know, hitter, one of the best hitters on this team. And you know, he said, look, I would have no problem giving this guy, you know, a contract. Basically said the Cardinals should not let him get to free agency. And then you start, you know, seeing some of the connections that Goldschmidt has to the Yankees. You find out that Aaron Boone used to be his next door neighbor in Arizona. And you go, man, if you speed ahead and look at what a Paul Goldschmidt free agency might look like, you know, I think Houston comes to mind because that was his favorite team growing up. They were interested in him when the Cardinals made the trade for him. So everyone talks about Houston. Maybe we should talk a little bit more about the Yankees. You know, it's not a shot at Luke Voit to say that the Yankees could be looking to upgrade that position. Luke Voit came in there and beat out Greg Bird, so maybe the Yankees would look at a guy like Paul Goldschmidt and throw a bunch of money at him. The other thing too is if Paul Goldschmidt feels like he has to go through free agency or needs to get there, he's active in the union. He has never been a free agent. He surrendered a lot of money on the team friendly extension he accepted in Arizona. I think it's really important for the Cardinals to extend this guy and to make it an offer that he can't refuse, because they might not want to see where this gets if it gets to free agency. And we're talking about a team that's not going to go chase the Bryce Harpers and the Manny Machados. We've learned that. So they need to extend the guy like Paul Goldschmidt and make it so the Yankees and the Astros don't have a chance to make that pitch.
I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. and it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again, and really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. STLCriminalDefense.com. Check it out. That's STLCriminalDefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Well, I just don't know what that number is, though. I mean, Machado and Harper are different. They're in their mid-20s, and a guy like, you know, as we're talking about Goldschmidt, 32, 33, 4 or 5 year deal. What does that look like when you're 32 or 33? I just don't know, and I don't know if anybody does. I know what the analytics may say, but boy, it's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, well, my colleague Derek Gould has reported that he thinks, you know, 5 year, $150 million range gets kind of the table setter for meaningful discussions. I know that's a lot of money, and people might say, goodness, that takes him deep into his career. But to me, that's the deal the Cardinals should love to make. You know, that could have a chance to be kind of your next, you know, Matt Holliday type contract. And nobody was upset with the way that turned out by the time it was said and done. So maybe you go more money. I think the way baseball is moving is that it's going to be bigger money, shorter years. You saw what the Dodgers, you know, reportedly threw at Harper. They turned it down, but they were willing to give him 4 years and a staggering amount of money over that time. And Goldschmidt's going to be a fascinating test case because he has all of the production. He has the health. He has longevity. He has the both sides. You know, he's a plus base runner. He's an elite defender at first base. He's one of the best hitters in the National League, and he's also going to be 32 by the time he's up for free agency if he gets there. So he's kind of to my point, the culmination of this discussion that we had this offseason. Everybody wanted to talk about, you know, is Bryce Harper a sign of the free agent market falling apart? Is Manny Machado? No, they're not. They're 26 years old. Goldschmidt will be a much better example of that if he reaches there because he'll be 32. So he'll have the production. He'll have all of the things that say he should make a ton of money. And he'll also have that 32 years on him, which makes a lot of teams, I think, press pause.
Ben, we are 20 days away now from opening day. What have we learned about the trio of potential starters in the outfield? To me, it's still, you know, I don't know. I'm not comfortable. Ozuna, shoulder, Bader, sliders, Dexter, where are we with him? O'Neill hitting bombs. I mean, those four guys, three spots, and I still think there's some question marks.
Yeah, I totally agree. You'd like to see some offense from somebody. Goodness, I think you and I agree that with Ozuna, it's all about the power. If he hits for power, then everybody will kind of overlook whatever state his arm is in, but he has no hits in spring training. So that's not the start that you'd like to see there. Dexter, you know, I think it's fair to say that he's in some ways looks healthier, looks like he's moving better. I mean, you and I have talked about what you've seen, and you say he looks, you know, physically stronger, and I think that's fair, but the offense hasn't been there, so to speak. And then Bader's struggling offensively as well. Now he brings the defense and the speed to the table, but you've got three outfielders and one of them doesn't have a hit, the other are hitting a buck something. Still relatively early, but we're kind of entering this unofficial second half of spring training. You'd like to see some results there. The fascinating wrinkle here is Tyler O'Neill, who has as many home runs as everyone in spring training except for Lewis Brinson of the Marlins or something in the water, I guess, at Roger Dean Stadium. But Tyler O'Neill just hits a home run every time he goes to the plate. And he's actually taking some walks now. He's still going to strike out, but if he can hit like this, then you can't possibly send him to Memphis. Now, he probably can't sustain it like quite like he's doing. But the Cardinals are okay playing him at every position in the outfield. So at some point, you know, maybe you start to see him in center a little bit. I think they got three starting outfielders who very much need to get their offense going. You know, with Dexter, the question is how long is the timeline? When do they feel like they have to have positive results? With Ozuna, it's can he throw? But if he can't hit, that's a much bigger issue. And Bader, you know, I think Bader's got a little more leeway here because he's going to have the defense and the speed. But at some point, if he's hitting, you know, a buck something, then that you better be really fast and really good defensively before you start looking at, you know, maybe someone else, especially if O'Neill's knocking the door down here. Dexter's, I'd like to see him, you know, we haven't seen him from the other side of the plate. You know, I don't know if that's just based on the pitching that he's faced or the Cardinals haven't faced a ton of lefties, but at some point you'd like to see him if he's going to do that or not, because that's going to tell us a little bit on how they're planning to use him. So I agree, a lot of questions, a lot of uncertainty now with a lot of guys not hitting out there.
One of the things that you wrote about this past week was, and I was asked about it on the radio, Jairo Munoz, and you said basically don't count him out in the competition for the utility role. I couldn't agree with you more. Munoz just finds a way to make plays. He finds a way to hit. Now, he was hit by a pitch, which slowed him down last weekend, but
he just shook it off.
This guy just finds a way to compete, and you can't ignore that, can you?
No. Well, I learned my lesson last spring when he was over there in the corner of the clubhouse in the place where guys disappear every day, and he just didn't go anywhere. And, you know, he's not the best defender. I won't sit here and say that he is, but he can play every position. He's better in outfield, I think, in the outfield than he gets credit for at times. And the kid just hit for a rookie. I mean, he didn't play regularly. He hit in spots that were tough. He just hits. And I know he's not left-handed. It would be ideal if he was. But when you look at, you know, what he's been able to do since last spring, and when you really look at his offense during last season, I looked it up today. There were 20, I think, rookies who had more than 100 games played last season. And I think he was like eighth in OPS. I mean, it's pretty good. There's some talented players in there. I'm talking about, you know, Juan Soto and Acuna Jr. And Munoz was pretty impressive for a rookie. So I'm not ready to say that he's not going to be in this mix. You know, the utility spots are going to be, I think one will be Jed Jerko, unless there's some sort of a trade there. I guess that's still a possibility. But every day that goes by, you think there's a little bit less. You're going to have Jose Martinez in the outfield. Tyler O'Neill's got to go if he keeps this up. So you're probably taking one less reliever. So it comes down to Munoz and Drew Robinson for that spot. Now, Robinson, I think the Cardinals are high on him. They're clearly trying to get him a lot of looks, you know, and they like to see what he can do. He's probably maybe a better outfielder, but and he's off to a pretty good start too. He's not exactly rolling over here. But, man, Munoz is, once again, having one of the best springs, and he's just putting up numbers. He can play everywhere, and then he gets hit, and then you think, okay, it's over. You know, now he's lost his shot because he's going to have a broken wrist. And, like, 2 days later, he's back in the lineup, and he's not even, you know, he's got a bruise. He's a tough kid, and I guess he's got good bones because I think everyone, including him, thought he had a broken wrist, and his shot of making the team was probably diminished. But he was back out there the other day and got a hit in his first game back.
Want to remind everybody, you can hear Ben Fred Friday every Friday on Scoops with Danny Mac. This is brought to you by the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty, the premier defense firm in Missouri and Illinois, stlcriminaldefense.com, stlcriminaldefense.com. Curious about your thoughts on Mike Shield. You know, it's been kind of a quiet camp in terms of, you know, just not a lot of noise. I mean, we've seen Carlos Martinez go down. We know he will not be on the opening day roster, but other than that, it's been a quiet camp. Your thoughts on Mike Shield?
I think you're just seeing his fingerprints over things. You know, the energy, the vibes, the conversation, the baseball conversation that's taken place. I love talking to him about the game. He gives great answers. He actually listens to questions and gives thoughtful responses. And I think people are learning more about this team through talking to him. There's an upbeat vibe. And sometimes, you know, that means something and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, sometimes I think we read too much into it, but I know I every time I talk to Schilt about baseball, I learn something that I didn't know before. And that's, that's appreciated for me. I mean, you like learning something about the game, and I've had colleagues who've talked about that, like with Tony La Russa, and how, you know, you couldn't help but get a baseball history lesson when you asked him questions. And I think there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of that in Schilt, and he mentions Tony La Russa. I mean, he can't go more than a couple answers without referencing something you learned from George Kissel. And of course, to him, it's always Mr. Kissel. I mean, he's appreciative of the history. He gets a kick out of the stats. He likes finding out numbers that we ask questions about. And he oftentimes drops numbers on us that we didn't know. It's just a more engaging, lively discussion than I think we've been used to. And I don't mean that to sound as, you know, as like some sort of dig at Mike Matheny. He just handled it differently. And different guys have different approaches, but I think for in terms of covering the team, it's more fun now because it's more engaging. And as far as the players go, I think they like having more say in how things operate. They're not calling the shots, but they feel like they can, you know, voice their opinion and maybe help something. I mean, Schilt was talking about it the other day and said that, hey, Goldschmidt brought something up about how we run bases and we're thinking about incorporating it. And he also made a point that, you know, like a guy like Munoz, who is a rookie last year, and everybody would just assume that he doesn't know what's going on, but he's got a great feel for certain parts of the game. And he would bring something up in a meeting that was maybe somebody was tipping a pitch and he had caught it and wanted to bring it up. And I think that conversation, that baseball dialogue has returned. And I think that's a very good thing for a team.
I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients. And this is why you can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. How about your starting five in the rotation? I asked Derek about this yesterday, your colleague Derek Gould. Who would be your right now if you had to break camp today? And I know we got plenty of time, but who would be your starting rotation?
Well, I think you go, you know, Carlos at this point is probably out. And I think you know, the easiest thing to do, and I don't have a problem with it, because I think we overlook him, is for now you slide John Gant in. John Gant has been a guy who we don't talk probably enough about. He's consistent. He can handle innings. He had a very good, you know, record as a – not a record in terms of win-loss. I think I don't care that much about that. But in terms of what he accomplished as a starter last season, he's also, you know, he's out of options. So I think that encourages you to go with him. And now if he can't get it done, then you look at – going another route, but Alex Reyes is going to be knocking on that door. He looks healthy. He looks determined. He didn't have the performance he wanted to his last time out, but I think he's really close. And then I think the biggest, hardest question for me is Dakota Hudson, because whether he's in the rotation or in the bullpen, I think if your goal is to go out there and win the most games possible, I think you got to take him with you somehow, whether he's in the bullpen or in the rotation, because he's so good. He had such a good you know, good performance last season out of the bullpen, that he's too good, I think, to leave in Memphis. So find a way to utilize him. And if it's Reyes coming along a little bit later, I'm okay with that. But I do think, you know, the thing with Reyes is that it's easier probably to manage his innings as a starter. The Cardinals are not, you know, saying how they plan on this working out, but I don't see a problem with having Reyes be a starter and having enough of him left to get something in spring, get something in the postseason out of him. If you get there, it's easier than ever before to manage a starter's innings. They don't pitch as long. The Cardinals have so many options. They can skip a turn or two and, you know, give him some downtime. I know they have an innings limit, a soft innings cap in mind, but I don't think they could have a hard time of using him early and often and still keeping him around 100 to 150 innings with some left over by the time they reach where they think they're going to be going in the postseason.
I'm curious about your bullpen. How many guys do you think they break camp with? And they can manipulate this because of the off days. How many guys do you think they go with in their bullpen?
Probably seven, right? I mean, because at this point, I mean, if we have to make it today, they have to take O'Neill. So that means you're going to have to take one less reliever. And that's where it really gets crunchy because, like, you have these guys, these veteran guys who have contracts who in an ideal world, you could let time play out a little bit more before you have to make a decision. But, like, Brett Cecil and Luke Gregerson, they haven't pitched in a game yet. And it's just really tough to tell me that you're going to send a guy like Dakota Hudson to Memphis and then take a guy who hasn't pitched in a spring training game yet, who had pretty disappointing seasons last year in Cecil and Gregerson. So, you know, that's where it gets complicated to me, because if you go down to seven relievers, then you better take your best ones, or else you could run into trouble. And the game that you lose early in the season because a reliever that you're hoping snaps the final pieces together blows up on you could come back to bite you in the end. So that to me is probably going to be the most fascinating discussion, is how do they play this out in the bullpen? What do they do with a guy like Hudson, a guy like Gomber, who if you put him in the bullpen, then you might end up kicking yourself later because you need a starter and, you know, you've fashioned him to be a reliever for that season. But if you don't utilize those guys, and you're trying to make it work with veterans who don't have their best stuff or can't get healthy, and you lose games because of it, then you're kicking yourself for that too. I think the instinct is to leave some guys back and try to get things rolling with the guys who have contracts. But in this case, I think, you know, the Cardinals have to say that they got to know by now that if Cecil and Gregerson were ready to go, they'd be close by now. And until we see them in games, I don't know how you can say they're close. So I would rather see the younger guys get a shot earlier rather than later, personally.
Well, let's go through some of those names. I think we know that Andrew Miller, he's on the team.
He's in.
Yeah, I think he's made the team.
Breaking news.
Yeah, Jordan Hicks, he's on the team. So if you've got Gant in your rotation, that means Wainwright is in your rotation as well. So your starting five, let's go back to that, would be Michaelis in no particular order, Flaherty, Waka, Wainwright, Gant, correct?
Correct.
And then working in your bullpen, Miller and Hicks are two of your seven. Mike Myers makes your team because he's out of options, I'm assuming?
Correct.
Okay, so there's three of your seven. You've got Dakota Hudson making your team as a bullpen option?
Yes.
Okay, so there's four of your seven. Dominic Leone?
I do, yeah. I think he's been pretty good this spring, and he's healthy, and I think that would have been a key part of last year's if he didn't have that nerve damage stuff going on, and now he seems to have gotten it figured out, so I think he's in there as well.
So that's five of your seven, and then you've got names like Cecil, Gregerson, Reyes, Brebbia, Gomber, Ponce de Leon. I mean, the list goes on and on. Who do you have on your final two?
Well, probably that's the hard one. I'm not sure I'm ready to go there yet.
Yeah, I get it. That's okay. Yeah.
I have a.
Who else am I leaving out?
I'm okay, and I'm sure we're forgetting guys, and we're gonna get lit up on Twitter for guys we've left out. I think you know, we're forgetting, and now I'm completely blanking on his name. The guy from Chase and Shreve.
Sure.
You can't do it off the top of your head and not leave guys out. You go, okay, that makes me rethink this.
Right.
You know, it's tough. Ponce de Leon, I thought, you know, if there's a guy who probably wanted to have a stronger spring to this point as a starter, maybe candidate, you'd want to see it by now. So maybe that makes him more lean toward the bullpen. It's a little early to say that. You're going to need some depth down there.
Jake Woodford is another one that probably is in your rotation at AAA. Yeah.
Yeah. I like Gomber. I like Gomber a lot. I kind of like him as having a lefty bullpen, a lefty rotation option if you need it. But then again, if you're going to get rid of, if you're going to, you know, cut ties with a Cecil, then maybe he slides into that spot. The one guy that I'm confident about, that I feel good about, that I want to say is in there now, is John Brebbia. And I know he has options, and I know he can ride the shuttle again, but I hope he doesn't. And it's not just because I like the guy personally. He should have pitched out of that role last season. Now, he could be a product of the baseball business side again, where he finds himself going back and forth. But if you look at his strikeout rate last year, he's one of the best in the bullpen. And I think that I think I'd like to see him in there with a more prominent role as well. So I guess that gets me down to one guy, and that's where I'm kind of, I don't know yet. I mean, I would have no problem with Gomber coming out of there, but I kind of like the idea of having him for the rotation if you need to, you know, patch something there. You know, and then part of this too is it's going to be some fluctuation. You know, Wainwright, I think, is going to end up starting the rotation, but if he can't, you know, if he struggles, if he pitches like he did his last time out, and that's going to be it for the season and how it goes, then I think you're probably going to see him shift. I mean, he's on that two-way contract where he can,
right?
You know, where he can go bullpen or rotation. And I don't think the Cardinals are to the point where they'd have any problem if they need to do that of moving him to the bullpen. I know he wants to start, clearly. I mean, and that's what he is, and that's what they want him to be. And if he can compete and give them a chance to win, they're not going to move him out. But if they have somebody who can give them a better shot, then I think they're going to go that way. With Reyes, golly, you like the idea of having him in the bullpen because he's got such nasty stuff. And him pitching any innings in Memphis makes you wish it would be in St. Louis. But I do think it's easier to manage his workload and get the most out of him while also preparing him best for what's down the line if he does it as a starter. You know, with a reliever, what if he ends up trickling toward, you know, the role of dominant late inning relief? What if he ends up being the closer? It could happen. I mean, it really could. So then you're gonna have to pull him out of that spot if his workload's not right. You want him going back to back days. You want him going multiple innings out of the bullpen and back to back days. I mean, that can get tricky when you're trying to keep tabs on a guy and make sure that he's projecting for a starter in the future. Because I think one thing we all agree on is he needs to be in the rotation in 2020. So I think the best way to do that is you try to get starter type schedule / innings out of him as a starter in 2019. So maybe this is the year where the Cardinals finally get to the point where they say they're going to use that 6-man rotation at some point. They've resisted it in the past, but I think Schilt is going to be open to what he feels gives them the best chance to win. So I guess that's as close as I can get right now without feeling like I'm just taking shots in the dark.
I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again, and really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. STLCriminalDefense.com. Check it out. That's STLCriminalDefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I've been saying that since November about that, and I've also going to throw another name out there that I think, even though it's going to be, you know, it's March 8th and we're a long ways away from getting to that point, but I think Ryan Helsley is going to play a major role with this club before it's all said and done as well. All right, we're going to wrap it up with this. I'm going to give you some quick hitters, and maybe you can give our listeners some insight on what you know. Kind of a double-part question, but I'll throw it out there. The latest on XFL and the latest on Isaac Bruce. What have you heard?
Well, I know that Isaac Bruce has, you know, some level of interest in the idea of XFL. I do think the XFL should contact him and see what he thinks about some sort of role. It doesn't sound to me like he's going to be the head coach because they feel like they're close to announcing that. And the last time I talked to Isaac's people, he hadn't been contacted at all. I think the league is getting a boost because the Alliance League seems to be under some hard times. I think that they're trying to hire coaches who've coached before. I think that's smart, but I also think they're going to need to pay attention to actually engaging the fans and getting some fan interest in St. Louis. I think St. Louis is going to have a bit of a lukewarm approach to this thing if there's not some names in it that they don't recognize.
Again, this is brought to you by the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty, premier defense firm in Missouri and St. Louis. Just head to their website. They can help you in any type of situation. STLCriminalDefense.com, STLCriminalDefense.com. Always want to bring this up with you. The latest on MLS, what are you hearing?
Well, I'm hoping that the group will have some announcement at some point of Mr. Garber coming to visit. I know that's in the cards, and I know that they're, you know, they feel like they are, you know, moving things forward in a positive fashion. I haven't had a chance to you know, get the exact latest on it because I've been down here kind of getting in baseball mode. But I know that Garber has had positive things to say, as we talked last time about his interviews with ESPN, and he is planning on coming to St. Louis. The point of that visit is going to be multiple goals, and one part of that is going to be to get to know the enterprise side of things a little bit. He's got good you know, relationship with Jim Cavanaugh. He's been a part of the previous attempts to get a team, but he wants to get to know the enterprise folks, and for good reason. You know, they could be a major player in the league, and I think he's also wanting to do some follow-up on what we talked about in the past of seeing some sponsorship business relationships beyond enterprise and worldwide technology. So that will be a chance for him to kind of get a feel for the stadium site, and also do some business meetings where he can see if there's the kind of corporate support that he hopes to see here in St. Louis.
Mizzou, SLU, Illinois. Can anybody make a run in a postseason tournament?
SLU is probably your best bet. You know, you got to give a chance to get that. If you go to Brooklyn and head there with a hot team, with a hot Tremaine Isbell, who's dropped like 30-point games, and you got a shot. Mizzou's ending on a high note here, but I think that's a long road to hoe for them to go in the SEC tournament. The good news for them is that LSU could potentially be a mess, considering their coach just got caught on a wiretap trying to buy a player. So maybe that pulls LSU out of the equation. But I think if I had to bet on one of those three teams, I would bet on SLU because they're playing a little bit better as of late, and the conference is still, for the most part, they can beat anybody in it. The SEC and the Big Ten are tougher. I like the way Illinois finished its season, but the Big Ten is just a murderer's row right now.
And again, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty, premier defense firm of Missouri and St. Louis and Illinois, brings us Ben Fred Fridays. We'll wrap it up with his final question. What are you looking forward to most spring football for the Missouri Tigers?
Kelly Bryant.
Yeah,
that's one
me
easy.
Too.
I can actually keep that one short. But no, I had a chance to talk with with Barry Odom when he was in town. Mizzou did the did a scholarship for a fundraiser for the Tiger Scholarship Fund, and Barry's just gushing about Kelly Bryant to the point that he had to kind of say, "Look, I'm trying not to be too you know, too fired up about this because I got to go coach the guy." But Kelly Bryant showed up with a resume that said, "I've been in big games and won them, and come follow me." And it's not a cockiness, but it is a confidence. And I do think it's rubbing off on his teammates. They know that he has been to places where they haven't been, and they feel like he can take them there. So, you know, Barry seems comfortable as I've ever seen him in his role. He is fired up about his team. He likes his coaching staff. He, you know, he feels confident in their ability. And I think he's finally kind of settling into that role and not getting complacent, but he's confident and he's calm and he has his extension and he feels like he's, you know, he's got this thing moving in the right direction. Now, there's also a little bit of a prod on the Tigers, because the one thing that will keep this, you know, the spotlight on the NCAA and the appeals process is a winning football season. If Missouri is 4-0, 5-0, 6-0, and they don't know if they're going to be eligible for the postseason, then that is going to keep this thing in the conversation. That's exactly what Mizzou wants. They want people talking about, you know, this Make It Right campaign and their appeal against the NCAA sanctions from the academic case. And nothing will keep that in the spotlight more than a successful one and done season for Kelly Bryant at Mizzou. So I throw a little more pressure on the Tigers to try to, do more than just go out and compete in the SEC. They have an opportunity here to help the university out and help the entire athletic department out as well.
Ben, I mean this sincerely. You do such a great job in the article on Reggie Jackson this past week with Paul Goldschmidt was fantastic, and we are lucky to have you on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, and we'll catch up with you next Friday, my man. Thanks so much.
Sounds good, man. Thank you, and look forward to grabbing a dinner here while we're down here.
Look forward to it as well. That's Ben Fredrickson on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.